From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. President Joe Biden didn't mention the Willow Arctic drilling proposal in his State of the Union address Tuesday, but Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola and U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski issued responses to the speech that were all about the ConocoPhillips project. Murkowski said domestically produced oil from the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, fits with Biden's push to buy materials made in America. Peltola said Alaska has not experienced the rapid job growth that the rest of the country enjoys, but Willow would create thousands of good-paying jobs. Willow would be the largest North Slope drilling project in years. It has wide support in the area, although in the nearest community, the tribal and city governments have written a letter opposing it. The closures of two childcare centers have made Juneau's childcare shortage even worse. Now, childcare workers, advocates, and state legislators are calling for a collaborative approach to finding solutions. Barbara Mitchell opened the Aurora Lights Childcare Center in 2018 at Aldersgate United Methodist Church. The church in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley provided an ideal space and discounted rent. Mitchell says church families donated thousands of dollars to get it up and running.
Centers seem to be coming and going a lot for many different reasons. And we just thought maybe it would be more steady if the church actually took it and ran with it.
But Aurora Lights lasted less than 5 years. In October, Aurora Lights told families they'd be shutting down in March when their administrator was set to leave. A drop in enrollment and loss of staff after the announcement forced them to close even earlier. Christy McGuire is the pastor at Aldersgate United Methodist Church. She says the shutdown was the culmination of ongoing hiring challenges.
When you're paying $35 an hour and you're still not able to staff, something else needs to be addressed.
Aurora Lights isn't alone. According to the State Department of Health, a fifth of Alaska's licensed childcare providers have closed since the start of the pandemic. Now, childcare workers, advocates, and state legislators are calling for a collaborative approach to rebuilding the workforce. And a bill in the Alaska State Legislature could help. The bill, sponsored by Anchorage Democratic Representative Zach Fields, would give childcare providers the ability to collectively bargain with the state's health department. Fields says the idea is to give providers a voice when the state makes decisions about funding and regulations.
I think the department should be very sensitive to input from the sector so that whatever they're contemplating in terms of, you know, revised training, safety kind of requirements, they should listen to sector input up front.
Training requirements make it harder to hire employees at all levels. Mandatory annual training is usually unpaid and can't be completed on the job.
Historically, we've kind of pushed training without any way of rewarding people or keeping people. In other words, there have not been sufficient financial incentives for people to get trained and stay in the sector.
The bill would also establish a child care provider fund, which would give financial support to providers through grants. Juneau City government took a similar approach to its local child care shortage in 2018, when the assembly appointed a child care committee. Blue Scheibler was on that committee. She's the executive director of the nonprofit Southeast Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children.
You can't pay a worthy wage and also make it affordable for parents. That kind of brought about the realization, which had been just talked about universally across the nation for really decades, that there needs to be a public subsidy of childcare.
The city created a loan fund for childcare startups and began giving direct subsidies to childcare providers. But as the industry deals with the labor shortage, Scheibler says it also needs help from the state.
To make childcare jobs attractive again and make people want to come to them and be able to afford to do them, we need a sizable investment. And it's possibly one that a municipal government can't afford on its own.
As legislators decide whether to take on that investment, many Juneau parents are stuck on wait lists, hoping to claim spots at the handful of centers left. Well, there's no question about it. Travel is back. As the pandemic fades, Americans are going on business trips, flying to conferences, and going on vacation. In Southeast Alaska, families routinely fly out of town for sports or doctor's visits, or just to visit somewhere less cold and rainy. But as KFSK's Rachel Cassandra reports, a surge in travel has Petersburg's teachers and administrators worried that students are falling behind.
School administrators in Petersburg have been alarmed this year by how many families are taking extended vacations outside of school breaks. Middle and high school principal Ambler Moss put it this way during a recent school board work session.
We already had a culture of absenteeism, all the travel from trips, but post-COVID, it unleashed that ferocity of travel, you know, the addiction to, I got to get off the island, I got to go somewhere, anywhere. And I'm concerned that it's been now normalized and we're not going to get the genie back in the bottle.
Administrators say it's hard on kids and on teachers who have to help kids make up what they're missing in the classroom. The school doesn't have hard limits on how many days kids can miss, but they have asked a handful of families to leave the school this year because their kids were missing too much school for travel. And aside from the practical problems with getting kids caught up, administrators are concerned that absences could keep kids from meeting new state standards. The Alaska Reads Act this fall will require extra testing and instruction for kids who are falling behind in reading. Moss says he's worried that all these absences are impacting the quality of teaching in Petersburg classrooms for all kids, not just the ones missing school.
My concern is that that much absence is also getting it baked into the cake where teachers are consciously or otherwise lowering standard to some extent in order to make it doable for everybody.
Administrators say they understand the value of trips, family time, and traveling during off-season, but they want to reduce absences. Research shows that missing school for any reason hurts kids academically. Kids who miss at least 10% of their school days, that's about 3 weeks for Petersburg students, are at risk for a number of problems later in life. Those kids are more likely to fall behind or drop out. As adults, they're more likely to be poor, to have poor health, and to be arrested or in prison. In Petersburg, there are 172 days of school. So that means if kids miss more than 17 days of school total, they're at risk. Missing school also affects kids socially at a time when youth mental illness is spiking. Research shows that kids who miss a lot of school are more likely to feel alienated and to stop trying to connect with other kids. Superintendent Erica Klutpainter says teachers have seen this when kids leave for long vacations.
We do have teachers talk about that. Kids are gone for 2 or 3 weeks. They come back. They're just like, I don't have a clue what's going on in my room. People are all moving on to this. They are, you know, they've lost a friend maybe over that amount of time. Groups have changed. They have a hard time reintegrating.
Klutpainter says part of Petersburg's problem is because of how school policy defines excused and unexcused absences. Right now, when kids miss school for medical reasons, travel for sports, or for most pre-approved vacations, those absences are considered excused. According to state law, kids can be suspended or expelled if they have too many unexcused absences. But Alaska requires districts to set their own definitions for what kinds of absences are considered excused or unexcused.
We're a district that shows no chronically absent students because of the way certain things are coded, and yet we have people on three-week trips in addition to X, Y, and Z. So it's this conversation about what does it mean to be excused and what does it mean to be unexcused? Does it mean that they make things up, they don't make things up?
Klutpainter says the district may change what kinds of absences are considered unexcused. They may start excusing only a certain number of days of vacation time during the school year. Any changes like this would be made through modifications in the school handbook. The superintendent and administration can make those changes. The school board has discussed changing the school calendar to adjust to the time families tend to take off, usually after the winter holidays when flights are cheaper. That might help families keep their kids in school for more days. But Klutpainter says they'll likely hold off on changes for next school year's calendar. And school board president Sarah Holmgren says the school needs to follow the community's lead on any big changes.
We could try and design a calendar ad nauseum, but if you don't have buy-in from your community, then I feel like we're spinning our wheels, especially if you have families that are like, nope, I'm taking 6 weeks off, and so their priorities are different than ours.
Yeah.
Klutpainter says this issue is not one unique to Petersburg. In a recent meeting with superintendents throughout Southeast Alaska, she said classroom attendance was a hot issue.
about half the group put absenteeism and attendance as an issue and a concern to address. So we're not alone in this.
Klutpainter says the board will likely continue to discuss attendance at every meeting for the foreseeable future. In Petersburg, I'm Rachel Cassandra.